Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
You know it's kind of hard just to get along today. Our subject isn't cool, but he fakes it anyway. He may not have a clue and he may not have style, but everything he lacks, well, he makes up in denial. So don't debate, play us straight. You know he really doesn't get it anyway. Gotta play the field and keep it real. For you know way, for you know way. So if you don't break, just overcompensate. At least you know you can always go on Ricky Lake. The world needs what a piece of.
In vitro fertilization, of course, is a procedure used by millions of families. We saw nationwide uproar when access was put in jeopardy just recently in Alabama. And just yesterday, the Southern Baptist Convention came out against IVF. It's the largest and most politically powerful Protestant denomination in the country.
Yeah, it's very interesting, this conversation, or I don't know, political opportunism maybe is a little bit better way to say it, because the Democrats clearly scrambling for November are trying to think to themselves, you know, what, if anything, do we have that we can persuade the American people to come over to our side and hopefully reelect our president? So because, you know, they're in kind of desperation mode with regards to him particularly. Speaking of which, oh, my God, did you see him at the Economic Summit meeting? He was like, they were standing around outside and they were getting ready to do a photo, and he just kind of wanders off in one direction, and then one of the other leaders, Spanish president? I forget who it was. It was a woman, and she kind of, because Jill wasn't around, so she goes over and kind of taps him on the arm and says, hey, back this way, sir.
And then you see everybody come to where he was. You know, they were way over here, and they all...
Okay, but back to IVF. In vitro fertilization, if you don't know, and I'm sorry, I'm going to describe something that I think most everybody knows, but if you don't, it's okay. I mean, I don't think you can't know everything, and sometimes you're like, what are they even talking about? In vitro fertilization is the idea of taking an egg from a woman and sperm from some man, or maybe the husband if you're married, and you combine them in a lab environment in a petri dish would be the way you tend to think of it, but it's not necessarily done like quite that way. But, you know, you put them together, you create a fertilized egg that's an embryo. You do this a lot of times. You create a number of them, okay? And then what you do is you would then implant them into the woman's uterus, and you typically implant more than one, multiple. That's why when, and you take drugs to make your body more receptive to successful implantation, and, you know, there's a lot to this. It's very expensive. I mean, you know, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars at minimum. And then what happens is, this is why women who go through IVF, it's a lot more common for them to have multiple children gestating at the same time, because, you know, you implant several and you hope that something takes, and a lot of times nothing takes at all. Sometimes you get more than one. And then the problem is that you have other non-implanted embryos that typically, you know, you have more than you need, and so you either destroy them or maybe you store them for later. But destruction of the fertilized egg and embryo is the moral objection to IVF. Mostly. That's the primary thing that people who object to IVF object to. There's also some other concerns that have to do more with, you know, what is natural in terms of making a baby, but that's the big thing. So pro-lifers, people who are adamant that a baby's a baby no matter how small, that as soon as you have a fertilized egg, if you have an embryo, you have a unique DNA structure, you have the chromosomes that will not change until that child is born and grows and dies, so you have the person, okay? That's the sort of most principled, consistent view of the pro-life argument. Is the problem with, for example, early term abortion is that it's a baby. It's a little tiny, tiny baby. Maybe only cells to you, but those cells will never fundamentally change until they become a baby you would recognize as a baby, then a born infant, and then an adult, and so forth. And so the moral objection against IVF from the Catholic Church has been consistent. From other Christians has been not as consistent. But the Southern Baptist Church did take a stance this week and say, no, we oppose this. Of course, where this is legally and politically interesting is because Alabama prohibited it for a while. And there was a big uproar over this, and people were upset because women who cannot conceive through natural means often use IVF as a backup. And it's one of these very strange things, just sort of philosophically, where on the one hand, the left in particular wants to protect women in their ability to terminate a pregnancy at, well, I'll say not necessarily any point because, of course, Democrats, liberals, or pro-choicers differ, but generally to only be pregnant when you want to be, right? And to only, you know, carry to term when you really want to. And if you conceive unintentionally, or even if you conceive intentionally but then later change your mind, or you discover things about the pregnancy that you dislike, for example, the genetic character of the baby, you know, or you have a health concern. Okay, there's all kinds of conversations here. Just kind of what you have on the one hand is a viewpoint that says women should be able to end a pregnancy, to terminate a pregnancy, and again, generally at any point they want to. Also, in the same minds of the people who hold that view, is that a woman should have an absolute right to pursue any form of reproductive opportunity that she wants, including in vitro fertilization, because you have women who would do anything to trade places with the women who terminate pregnancy and keep the baby. And I've always thought that one of the most horrendously offensive things to women who try and can't conceive, which is a lot of women, is that other women, maybe their next door neighbor, conceives even unintentionally and then destroys the baby. Or if you prefer the more neutral term, ends the pregnancy. You know, the one woman is watching on as the other woman is jettisoning the thing that she would do anything to be able to have. So it's a very, it's, you know, when you think about it that way, there's a lot of very complicated, you know, psychological, emotional, sort of empathetic, and also just, you know, moral issues here. Okay, so the traditional conservative world has long had at least skepticism towards IVF. And the more, you know, principle-based pro-lifers who view every child with a unique DNA strand as being a child have said that it's morally objectionable. So what happens is the Democrats, seeing an opportunity for November, come along, and after Alabama, they say, you know, we can make some hay on this, and let's protect the right to IVF for all women. Let's create a bill, you know, and let's put in that bill a bunch of provisions.
This new package of bills would prevent states from imposing restrictions, expand access for service members and veterans, and require insurance plans to cover fertility treatments. Senator Tammy Duckworth is one of several lawmakers pushing for this vote today. IVF helped her grow her own family.
I struggled for 10 years post my deployment to Iraq, trying to start a family. And it was only through the miracle of IVF that I have my two little girls.
And that's a very, very common sentiment. And then Cory Booker, another senator.
If you poll Republicans, if you poll Democrats and independents, all of them know that this is obvious and is not something that should be controversial.
Yeah. And so currently it's legal, right? And so what the Democrats wanted to do was to create a law that would make it, you know, a federal law that you can't restrict it at the state level. And the problem with that, first of all, is that it's in an election year. It's obviously meant to be, you know, ginning up support for them politically, because it's going to put Republicans in the awkward position of saying something like this: you don't need that law because it's legal everywhere. But it also puts some Republicans in the awkward position of having to publicly say what they believe, which is that, again, you know, a fetus, an embryo, a child are all deserving of our protection because they're all forms of life. And IVF is one of those issues that for the average American who doesn't think about this stuff an awful lot, they think it's weird that people would oppose it. It seems like it gives women the chance to have a child. And, you know, what's the harm? Well, the harm is that you're creating and then destroying for each successful pregnancy a number. That number changes, but a number of fertilized eggs. And if a fertilized egg is a person with a DNA strand, then, you know, that's the objection. But it doesn't feel much like you're destroying a person because it's just a couple of cells or even just one cell, right? So yesterday they voted not to have this. They decided, you know, the Republicans interfered, right, which is certainly the most common thing that happens, is the Republican or the Democrats interfere with what the Senate wants to do, and they didn't advance any of these things. But it is an awkward position for the GOP because, again, most people view IVF as not being morally controversial because they're not particularly steeped in the discussion around what is and what is not a child. We'll also say this. It highlights a place in the discussion about life issues that a lot of otherwise very conservative pro-life people are not all that well learned about and haven't thought through a whole lot, and that's the question of contraception. Because, you know, the Catholic Church's position on contraception is the same as their position on in vitro, is the same as their position on even, you know, delaying pregnancy, as they're saying, you know, across the board. Because they view marriage as the place where you have sex, and you have sex for pleasure, imaging God, and also producing children. And to the degree you interfere with any of those, you interfere with the whole enterprise. And so there's something fundamentally unnatural and ungodly about interfering with anything in that bundle of values, representations, behaviors, okay? So even though contraceptives, like, for example, a condom, prevent the sperm from reaching the egg, therefore preventing a unique human life from being created because you never get a fertilized egg when it works properly. Other forms of contraception, like, for example, the ordinary birth control pill functions to partially suppress ovulation so the egg and the sperm never meet, functions to partially thicken the mucus so that you don't have the ability of the sperm to get to the egg, and also partially functions to thin the endometrial lining so that the host environment in the uterus is inhospitable for any fertilized egg that gets there, and so that even if you had a fertilized egg, a life created, again, taking that view, it gets implanted in a place where it can't survive and it starves to death and your body goes through a normal menstrual cycle and ejects that, you know, that fertilized egg. And so it's, nobody knows exactly how much which method of the birth control pill works, but that's why they call it an abortifacient, because it has effects that are similar to abortion in a very, very early term, that it stops the pregnancy from continuing. And so this is why, for example, Catholics and staunch pro-lifers have often said, Catholics say that all, I mean, traditional Catholic doctrine, okay, not all Catholics agree with this, but traditionally, they say that all of this stuff is bad, whereas sometimes you'll have pro-lifers say contraception that is barrier method contraception is fine because it prevents an egg from being fertilized. The pill is morally dubious or worse because it might prevent fertilization, but it might also cause the expulsion of the embryo because it doesn't have an appropriate lining in the uterus to survive, and that's a very, very early term abortion. Okay, you follow? And most people, I'd say a lot of people who are not Catholics and haven't really thought through a lot of these connections and how these issues are related, don't have consistent views on these things, okay? Now, the other thing worth mentioning, and I know this is kind of a lot on like this topic, but this is big in the news right now, the IVF stuff. The other one is that the Supreme Court yesterday issued a ruling, a unanimous ruling, about the question of whether mifepristone is something that can legally be, has been approved through a method that's appropriate by the FDA and whether it should be kept available for people or not. And now, mifepristone is the very early term abortive, it genuinely is an abortifacient. It's, you know, the pill protocol that you take in order to end an abortion very early on in the process. And this lawsuit, it's important to understand what did and didn't get decided yesterday. If you hear the news reports, and I have heard several of them, you know, Supreme Court sides with women. Supreme Court upholds mifepristone. No, you need to read better because that's not what they decided. What they decided was that the plaintiffs in the case had no standing. And standing is the basic principle that, like Antonin Scalia used to always say, which is, you know, what's it to you? As in, you can't go to the court and get the court to do something that you care about unless you have an interest in the outcome. And that interest means, would you be harmed by the law? Okay? So if you can show that you're harmed by the law, then you at least have standing to come and say to the court, hey, this law is no good because it harms me in a way that violates the Constitution. So what the Supreme Court said yesterday had nothing to do with whether mifepristone is a good drug, a bad drug. The FDA did their job. It doesn't have anything to do with any of that. All they ruled on is that the doctors and the people representing the doctors in this case didn't have standing to bring the case. Because their argument was, We are pro-life doctors who might sometimes have to operate in emergency rooms, and women who take this drug protocol don't always have a successful abortion, or there are sometimes complications that put them in our ER in a situation where we cannot deny them care in the urgent situation, the exigent circumstance. And so we are forced to provide abortion care or follow-on care to failed abortions that violates our moral beliefs. And because we might theoretically be put in that position in the ER, you cannot allow women to use this pill. That's the argument. And if that sounds like an incredibly weak argument, it is. I'm a pretty staunch pro-lifer, and I think this argument's ridiculous. Because there are laws protecting doctors against having to perform these procedures. There are conscience objections. It's an incredibly hypothetical argument, which is why when they heard the oral arguments over this case, the Supreme Court justices all said, seems pretty hypothetical to us. And it's why I predicted at the time that this would likely fail on standing grounds. And it has, 9-0, unanimous. Now, there's some difference of opinion about how they got there, but very short opinion, 25 pages by Supreme Court standards, that short. And so they didn't decide that women have a right to mifepristone. They didn't decide that the FDA did its job. They didn't decide any of that stuff. What they decided was that this case by these plaintiffs lacks standing, because if you allow this to go forward, then, you know, theoretically, somebody might say, well, look, raising the speed limit, a doctor might say raising the speed limit raises the chance that somebody's getting to a wreck, and they're going to raise the chance that they wind up in my ER, and I'm opposed to that. And like, all of these bizarre, convoluted theories of causation and standing might be allowed, and the Supreme Court said we cannot have that. And so this is a no. Now, it also raises the question whether anybody will ever have standing to bring a case against the FDA on this. And the answer is we don't know. But as the court ruled, even if you can't identify a way that you might be able to bring a case on standing, that doesn't mean that the law itself can't proceed. So it's a very technical dismissal of this case. It's not a ruling that mifepristone is a right or that women have the right or that the FDA did the right thing. It's just that this case was a bad case. So when you hear people talking about it, that's the truth of what happened yesterday. 525 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide where to go to buy it and think about what kind of car to buy, and you want to drive a bunch of different ones, go to Frontier Motors. They will take great care of you. I know they took great care of us. They got more than 300 cars, trucks, vans, sedans on the lot, and you can sample as many as you like. Drive a few. Drive multiple ones. Drive something outside of your category. Just take a sample. See what's out there. If they don't have exactly what you want, they can go get it for you. They go hunting for cars all the time, and they're very, very good at that. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Pro paint days are back at Lowe's. Save $40 on select 5-gallon HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams paint, like Weather Shield, Showcase, or Ceiling Paint. Plus, save $10 on drywall PVA primer. And get free same-day delivery to the job site when you order by 2 p.m. Lowe's knows paint. Lowe's knows pros. Offers valid through 6/14. Delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Additional terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
I got music in my soul. I got music in my soul. I got music in my soul. I got music wherever I go. Don't need nothing to keep me going on. 'Cause I got
waking us up today, Earl Juke. I appreciate that. 528 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Good morning. Hey, it's early. If you're with us, I'm happy to have you. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Sandy Hook families that are suing Alex Jones now want to seize his social media accounts.
Good.
The families of the shootings sued him for over $1 billion. Jones agreed to liquidate his assets in bankruptcy. And this week, the families have asked a bankruptcy judge to take control of his social media accounts so he can't use it to promote any new business ventures.
He's a reprehensible human being.
He is.
I'll just say it. It's just, you know.
Absolutely. It seems a little odd when somebody owes you over $1 billion to prevent them from making more money to pay you, though.
Right. And just there are not great people in my industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who are nevertheless popular, and
very much so.
It's
yeah.
very embarrassing to those of us who take seriously what we do. And anyway, go ahead, David.
Absolutely. The head of the FAA says the agency's oversight of Boeing was too hands off before incidents involving the company's planes earlier this year. In the Senate Commerce Committee hearing yesterday, FAA Administrator Mike Whitaker said, quote, "The FAA should have had better visibility into what was happening at Boeing before January 5th. Of course, that's the date of that door plug incident. And apparently, consumers are expected to spend roughly $22 billion on Father's Day gifts this weekend. They say the average amount spent on a single gift
Is the same as a pair of socks.
No.
Oh, okay. Go on.
That sounds more likely, though. $190 is what they're saying.
Really?
That's what they're saying.
Families.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, good for those guys, I guess.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. A very important day for President Biden, meeting with the Italian Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni, discussing several topics, including migration, the wars in Ukraine and the Middle East. And later today, the second Catholic U.S. president will meet Pope Francis.
It is a personal highlight for the president, who is Catholic. Pope Francis is the first pope to participate in G7 talks. He is expected to warn about the dangers of artificial intelligence.
Fox's Madeline Rivera reporting. A former Hamas hostage speaks out. Moran Stella Yanni, taken to the Nova Music Festival in Israel during the October 7th Hamas attack.
My life is a whole new different reality for me. I'm getting to know my life all over again.
She joined Fox News tonight. Relentless rain flooding parts of Florida today, marking the fourth day that area is going to be pounded, South Florida. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. It is a beautiful Friday morning. 76 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. An 18-year-old Louisiana man was arrested after leading FHP troopers on an extremely high-speed chase yesterday through Santa Rosa and in Escambia counties as well. Troopers say they first noticed this black Ford Mustang driving at more than 130 miles per hour on I-10 at mile marker 35. FHP says they attempted to stop that vehicle. It then sped up to 150 miles per hour. Eventually, that vehicle exited on scenic highway. FHP says at one point it attempted to park in a driveway, but when it was noticed, then resumed the chase on scenic highway. Eventually, FHP called off that chase because they say the driver was driving aggressively. The vehicle was later found in Baldwin County, where the driver was arrested at a gas station, and they've identified that driver as 18-year-old Romero Nail from Louisiana. One person died yesterday after a four-vehicle crash on the Escambia Bay Bridge. Now, that happened just after 2 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. One of the vehicles caught on fire after that crash. Escambia County says one person from that vehicle died. Three other people were hurt in the crash and taken to hospitals with minor injuries. FHP is still investigating that accident. There is another wet day expected in South Florida today. The National Weather Service with a flood watch again for Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, and Monroe counties today. They say over 12 inches of rain have fallen in South Florida since Tuesday. And the FAA now looking at what impact future SpaceX launches could have on the environment. The federal agency held a public information meeting yesterday at Kennedy Space Center. The FAA is studying how Starship and Super Heavy launches could could possibly affect air and water quality. One resident attended that meeting and said he was worried about losing oyster and clam beds. He tells News 6 that he supports the space system, but says there needs to be some type of balance. It is 534 News Radio Pensacola. Right now we do have 76 degrees in Pensacola, 76 at in Gulf Breeze, 75 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Brain science startup NeuroElectrics is developing therapies that it says will improve the lives of people living with brain disease, such as epilepsy or Alzheimer's. The Barcelona-based company's main product is a head cap, which monitors the brain's electrical activity and stimulates different sections with mild electrical currents. In a 17-patient study approved by the FDA, the technology demonstrated a median seizure reduction of 41%. NeuroElectrics is pursuing FDA approval by September of 2025. Automotive companies in China sold more cars than their U.S. counterparts for the first time last year. Chinese brands sold 13.4 million new vehicles in 2023. American brands sold 11.9 million. China's sales growth also outpaced the U.S., up 23% from the previous year, compared to the U.S.'s 9%. Futures are moderately lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 65. That's Your Money Now.
How long could your business function without email? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Three Gulf Coast businesses had their email shut down for 2 days because one employee clicked a spam email link. Be suspicious of any unsolicited email offers, especially if they are too good to be true. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
When you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. 5:37 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's DC's music, but it's okay because DC is Mike's boss ultimately. So the Pensacola Police Department all works for DC Reeves ultimately. So no big deal. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. And as always on a Thursday, we spoke to him yesterday. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. I was talking to you a little bit about this off the air, but I had a chance to go through the Escambia County Sheriff's Office training shooter training facility yesterday, and we're going to do a lot of talking about this at the 6:35 segment over many days. But I will tell you my one big takeaway was your job is – I knew how hard your job was way more than most civilians. I'm just telling you, your job is super hard, and I even more appreciate what cops have to do.
Well, we appreciate that, and we also wish that everybody could go through that sort of training, shoot and don't shoot type scenarios, and understand more of of how fast officers have to think in these type of situations. And they would understand a whole lot better. So, you know, we know that that's not possible for it to happen, but we're just fortunate that we're able to have fine facilities like that. The Sheriff's Department is not going to do anything halfway. It's a wonderful facility, hopefully we're going to be able to train there as well.
No, absolutely. And, you know, every layer of it to me was, here's all the things you don't know and got wrong. Okay, now next, here's all the things you didn't know and got wrong and didn't think about. Okay, great. You know, it's a hard job. So it really is. I had much greater appreciation for the job and admiration and respect for the men and women who wear the badge. You guys had a couple of things take place in the city this week, including you had a girl who was missing and wound up being her mom got arrested. Is that right?
Yeah, she left Baptist Hospital on her own. She was 16 years old from East Tennessee, was on vacation down here with her father, and was gone for a couple days. And it turns out that she was headed to the Tampa St. Pete area to be with her biological mother, who lost custody of her several years ago. And her mother arranged made financial arrangements for her to be able to get to the St. Pete area. So she was charged with interfering in child custody.
All right. Very good. I mean, not good, but, and where's the girl now? Is she back with her dad, I hope?
She's back with family.
Okay.
Yeah. She's okay. It's, you know, good that we found her and that she's safe.
Also, it seems to have been a weird week for just not the norm of crimes. Like, we had this one story we're talking about with the sheriff on Tuesday, you know, cinder blocks getting thrown at people, chainsaws getting used to cut into people's houses or doors or whatever. You guys had a kind of an unusual one, an arson attempt on Jordan.
Yeah, we had it was a 200 block of West Jordan Street. A female was seen pouring lighter fluid on the side of a house and then lighting it on fire. She was last seen head southbound on Barcelona Street. So we're still working that. Fortunately, there were no injuries there, and the homeowner was notified that the structure was on fire and was able to get out. So the fire marshal is helping us with that incident. And also we had on Parker Drive, we had an individual shoot a raccoon out of a tree next to a city park, which you can't do. And that individual was being reckless and is going to be charged in that situation.
Okay, we'll get to the raccoon tree shooting in just a second. Let's back up to the attempted arson. Is a home that was abandoned? It was outside the house. It was inside the house. It was an occupied. What are we dealing with here?
Yeah, the fire was outside the house. And
okay.
The homeowner, which was inside. Yeah, so it was outside. And like I said, the homeowner was notified and of the fire and fire was put out. Nobody was injured. So we're not sure what the individual decided to set the house on fire for. That's still under investigation, and hopefully we'll have more soon.
So that sounds like it could even be an attempted homicide, if depending on what the investigation shows.
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes you don't know why people do things, but then when you investigate it, you find out that they knew each other and it may have been intentional. Other times there are people that are you know, fighting, having mental health breakdowns that do things like that, such as the person that entered the back parking lot at the police department and set one of our cruisers on fire. So, yeah, you just never know until the investigation is complete.
Okay, now to the raccoon shooting. Okay, so somebody's near a park and they see a raccoon in a tree, I guess on their property, and they decide that the solution for this is to shoot a gun up into the air at the raccoon. Do I have this right?
That's pretty much it. That investigation is ongoing as well. You can't do that. And so there's going to be some arrests made in that case, some warrants issued on that.
I'm assuming that it's a reckless endangerment charge, deadly missile, failure to contain a firearm discharge on your property, some combination of those?
It could be one or all of the above.
And that's, and again, you're in Florida, you're actually, you know, I don't know what the regulation is in the city. You have to tell me. But, you know, in Florida, you can shoot a gun as long as you contain it on your property and take reasonable safety that it's not going to hurt somebody. Shooting it up into the air into a tree, that's kind of violates all of that. But is that true in the city, too? Can you discharge a weapon in the city on your property?
You can. Now, look, you've got to be able to articulate what you're doing. You can't just go out there and start firing your weapon in the city, target practice type situation. If you're defending your home, defending yourself, you know, maybe even defending an animal, your dog or something like that. So each of these situations are different, and we have to look at the totality of the circumstances before we decide to charge anybody with something like that.
Very good. And that's what I was curious about is, you know, that, you know, the state has laws about this and, you know, discharge of a firearm as long as in the county, you know, you can target shoot on your property basically in the county. I wasn't sure in the city what the rule was, but it sounds like you have to explain yourself if you're in the city. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. You have one for me this week?
Yeah, so this one is about car crashes and people automatically saying when the weather is bad, you're going to have more crashes. That's true to some extent, but we also have a lot of those car crashes when it's a beautiful day such as today. So and most of that is due to driver inattention. So if there's somebody listening to us right now that has a phone in their hand in their car as they're driving, please put that phone down. Hopefully you'll save your own life or somebody else's. But on these beautiful days, people are doing everything but paying attention to their driving because the weather is so pretty. So please don't on days like that think that it's just going to be a great day without crashes, because we have many of them on sunny days. And a lot of that is because of sometimes of sun glare. We have more people that are out and about. We have more teens on the road this time of year. Mm-hmm. That's why they talk about the 100 deadliest days for teens. And we also have more pedestrians and bicyclists out on days like this. So we just want everybody to go out and be careful. You can go to YouTube and other social media platforms and look at these cameras. A lot of people are starting to put onboard cameras in their vehicles, in their private vehicles, and I'm doing that myself with my private truck. Going to have a camera installed on that, and you can see these crashes happen, and a lot of them are, you're wondering, why did that car cross the lane into the oncoming lane for no reason, or just ran into that telephone pole for no reason? And most of the time, it's either because of a health issue or driver inattention.
You know, it's an interesting note you make about how the nicer day you would think means safer driving, but it's because people are more likely to drive in because they feel safe, and also because they drive more carelessly because they're not scared. Being scared in the rain actually makes you drive a little bit more carefully because you're paying more attention. That's a fascinating observation. I'll tell you, the one bit of unsafe driving that I have seen more lately that I think is amazing is, and I've seen it on Burgess where it's two lanes, I've seen it on Creighton where it's five lanes, is people who will pull around and drive pass you through the middle turn lane. And my wife says she's seen this more too recently. Is that seems like something you wouldn't normally have experienced in the past, and it seems like the switch got flipped in the dumb people's minds in the last year, that suddenly that's the way they're going to solve feeling frustrated driving behind people.
Yeah, you see a lot of that. You know, those lanes were installed to keep people or to give people that are about to make a turn a place to go so traffic can keep moving. But Gulf Beach Highway is another example of that. But now you see people using those as on-ramps and off-ramps. I mean, you see them get into that and then get up to speed to merge over. You see them passing people because they're where they want to make a left turn is just four or five, six cars up. All of that is illegal. That's disregarding a traffic control device, improper use of a lane. There's all kinds of dangerous reasons why you don't need to do that. But you see it all the time with these roadways that have that center turn lane that goes the length of the roadway.
Yeah, no, again, like I said, we've seen it a lot lately, and it's just kind of, whenever it happens, I'm always like, what did you just do? Oh, my God, these savages. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time, keeping us safe and keeping us informed. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Don't shoot raccoons in the trees. Good reminder, good safety tip. And by the way, I do sometimes think about this, how on the one hand, it is amazing and baffling and shocking and horrifying to see somebody pass around you through the, you know, turn lane portion of a five-lane road like a Creighton, or through, you know, the three-lane road like Palafox, you know, old Palafox, whatever. But at the same time, there is a part of me that is also equally and consistently amazed by the fact that a little splotch of yellow paint on a road keeps people who are otherwise terrible people from doing things they want to do. Like, okay, hear me out. I'm in no way justifying, but when I drive, for example, like on Burgess, the road that's 35 miles an hour, and even if you're going 40, there's often going to be people that are going to try to go 45 or 50 around you. And there is a part of me that if somebody is, you know, running up my butt, okay, trying to get me to go faster, because that's what people do, there is a part of me that's like, so you're willing to drive unsafely close behind me, tailgate me, engage in reckless and dangerous behavior, but you won't just, you know, drive across some yellow line in the road? Which is good, though, because, like, our whole society depends on people unquestioningly obeying those kinds of limitations. I mean, that's, you know, because when you're driving down a road that's two lanes and, you know, 45 miles an hour each way and 90 miles an hour closure, you're kind of depending on the fact that people care not to cross that yellow line, right? So I just think it's an amazing amount of conditioning that goes into making civilized human beings. 5:49 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home and trying to wonder, like, is now the right time? Should I wait? Should I have already acted? Is it going to be better in a month or two, or is it going to be much more difficult in a month or two? Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, much better equipped to answer that question than I am. And they can help you with all kinds of things, like, obviously, how much can I get my home sold for? How long will that take? Typically not very long, okay? They really know how to sell homes, and they can give you a very realistic assessment of what you can get for it. How long will it take me to find a good home? How choosy can I be? Do I have to be? Can I work with them on the price? What about a new build? Why would you have a realtor for a new build? Why not just go to the builder? Well, the builders like you to use a realtor, and because it facilitates the process, but also they can get you discount even on, you know, things like your points. They can buy those down. I mean, there's stuff realtors can do that can help you that you don't even realize, and that's why they're valuable. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of Pensacola State College students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the summer and fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Go here.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Grab your blanket or lawn chair and get ready to relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Float Like a Buffalo Band, playing rock with funk, ska, reggae, and jam influences to make a unique sound that's impossible not to dance to. Catch it all this Tuesday night at 7 with Bands on the Beach. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 5:52 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. John, are you a big sports fan, medium sports fan?
Oh, yeah.
I know you're wearing an off-brand baseball shirt today. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's my son's team.
Oh, great. Okay.
It says coach on the back.
I feel like a big old jerk. Okay.
No.
I mean, it's not a Major League Baseball team, obviously, and it's not the Wahoos. So, okay, your son's team. Very good. But you're a big sports fan, medium sports fan? Okay. Have you been watching the basketball finals, the NBA finals?
I have seen a few games. Okay. I guess there are only three games so far,
right.
So that's a few.
I watched the first two not at all, and the third one on fast forward. Well, the third game had kind of an interesting national anthem. And it was the guitarist for Machine Gun Kelly. Mm-hmm. They call him Guitar Slayer, which I feel very dumb describing an actual adult human being as Guitar Slayer. But okay,
Slayer.
Justin Lyons is his name. And here's what it sounded like. I won't play the whole thing, but I'll play some of it. Of course, we've all heard like the Hendrix version. All right, so it's fantastic guitar work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the man is an unbelievable guitarist. I don't like it.
No,
I don't like it.
What's the old saying that if you can't sing, you play?
Well. I'll put it a little different way.
Okay.
The role of the singer of the anthem
mm-hmm.
is the worship leader.
Correct.
At the event. And this is something that sometimes worship leaders misunderstand. But the role of the worship leader is not to be a performance you watch,
mm-hmm.
but to be a participative endeavor that joins you in the process of affirming the country or affirming God.
Right.
And so if you're sitting there watching it and you can't sing with it because it's played in a way that you really can't sing next to, it's not performing its purpose. And so, you know, sometimes you go to a church and the worship leader is great
mm-hmm.
at performing. That's not their job.
Right.
Their job is to lead worship, to help all of us engage in an act of coming closer to God through song. And so to me, the problem with this is no slight on him as a performance.
No.
It's fantastic. But it's like a soloist who sings the anthem and does all these weird flourishes and things. You're actually separating people from the process of affirming their loyalty to the country, a pleasant experience you make into a problem, and you're actually violating the purpose of having the anthem in the first place. My opinion.
Did you see the crowd shots?
No, well, they were kind of what, looking
they
all
were
over
just looking.
Right. That's it. They're just watching.
We go to a ball game, we're saying
the Wahoos, and they're singing. You're participating. That's exactly it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden once again saying that he won't pardon his son Hunter after being convicted this week on unlawfully purchasing a gun. Speaking on Thursday, the president said he would not commute Hunter's sentence whenever that is handed down as well. Pope Francis will be at the G7 summit today. He'll be in southern Italy to attend the summit of the world's wealthiest democracies. A statement from the Vatican says he'll hold bilateral meetings with world leaders and discuss ethical implications of artificial intelligence. And Tesla shareholders have now voted to reinstate CEO Elon Musk's multi-billion dollar pay package. That move yesterday came nearly half a year after a Delaware court had voided it, ruling it had been improperly granted by the board.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. By the way, I have a news item for you, sort of.
Ooh.
I mean, it's for everybody, really, but it also is relevant to you. You served in the Army. You
yes.
were deployed in Afghanistan.
Iraq.
Oh, you were in Iraq. Yeah. That's right. I'm sorry. Okay, so it's now only slightly for you.
A little less for
a
me
A little
now.
Less
okay.
for you. My mistake. I knew that, too. I don't know why I thought the other. But there's a new amphibious ship that's going to be commissioned that is going to be named the USS Helmand Province.
Okay.
Which is kind of an interesting, I don't think I remember very many ship names being named in that way for locations like that. You know, I mean,
right.
a lot of times they're named for U.S. cities and things like that, but named for a battle space, right? But more than 350 Marines killed during 5 years of combat in Helmand, which with thousands more wounded. So I just thought that was an interesting note that we're, you know, Southern Afghanistan, a region of Southern Afghanistan, is getting a ship named for it in the
Absolutely,
U.S. Navy.
Absolutely, very much.
So, now I feel dumb about inviting you in because you weren't deployed there. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. No, it's a very interesting news note.
I thought so, too.
Thank you for sharing that.
That's been on my, like, talk about this when you can list, and finally I had 18 seconds to talk about it today. So, you know, there we go. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:57 here on News Radio Pensacola. Oh, let's see. Got a text in here. Somebody says, totally agree with you on the national anthem. It's supposed to be more honorable. It's not a performance. Right. You there's a kind of selfish individualism that sometimes people fall prey to when they think that the performing of the anthem is about them,
mm-hmm.
when really the performing of the anthem is about the nation.
Right.
And allowing people to reinvigorate their nationalism, if you will, or to re-participate in an expression of nationalistic love. Like, that's the idea of it. And which, by the way, I mean, not to get too far afield of the basic question here, but that's why people who object to things like the flag and the anthem, I mean, I think of like Jehovah's Witnesses, because, you know, they object to it as a kind of idolatry. I disagree with them, but, you know, there's, you know, a little tiny element of something in what they're saying, but they're at least properly identifying that what people are doing is an expression of love, awe, reverence, respect, value, allegiance, all of those things. You know, that's what you're doing, and that's why, again, it's, you know, if you're up there performing, I mean, that's wonderful for you, but that's not the job. And by the way, I don't even necessarily blame the guitarist. You know, it's kind of the people who invited him. You know, what did you think you were going to get? Well, this, right? And this is not what that is for. It's a common enough mistake, and, you know, I just prefer people to know that they're supposed to lead a thing that we all do.
You're listening.